Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, EP. Thompson's The Making of the English Working Class is a landmark work of social history first published in 1963. It examines how English workers, artisans, dissenters, and radicals developed a shared sense of identity during the formative years of industrial capitalism, roughly from the late 18th century to 1832. Rather than treating class as a fixed economic category, Thompson shows it as a historical process shaped by experience, political struggle, religious influence, popular organization, and cultural practice. The book is especially known for its history from below approach, which restores agency to ordinary people who are often absent from traditional political narratives. By combining close archival research with a broad interpretation of social change, Thompson offers a detailed account of how working class consciousness emerged through conflict, resistance, and collective action. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, working class identity as a historical process, not a fixed category. Thompson's central argument is that the English working class was made through history, rather than simply produced by industrialization. He rejects the idea that economic conditions alone automatically create class consciousness. Instead, he traces how shared experiences of exploitation, legal repression, political exclusion, and community life helped workers begin to see themselves as having common interests. This makes the book different from deterministic accounts of social change because it emphasizes formation, not inevitability. The word making is crucial. It points to an active process in which ordinary people participated in their own social and political development. Thompson's focus on the period between 1780 and 1832 allows him to show how older artisan cultures, radical politics, and new industrial relations interacted to shape a distinct class identity. The result is a historical explanation of consciousness itself, not just of wages, machines, or factory growth. Secondly, history from below and the recovery of ordinary workers as historical actors. One of the book's most influential features is its method. Thompson writes history from below, meaning that he reconstructs the lives, views, and struggles of people usually treated as background figures in national history. He draws on pamphlets, newspapers, sermons, letters, trial records, and organizational materials to recover the voices of artisans, laborers, radicals, and dissenters. This gives the book a social depth that goes beyond elite politics. Instead of presenting working people as passive victims of industrial change, Thompson shows them organizing, debating, remembering traditions, and defending rights. The method matters because it changes what counts as evidence in history, culture, custom, protest, and everyday association become as important as parliamentary acts or economic statistics. This approach also makes the book morally and intellectually distinctive, since it treats common people as agents capable of interpretation and resistance. Its influence on later social history comes partly from this expansion of historical attention to those at the bottom of society. Thirdly, Methodism, dissent, and the moral shaping of working class consciousness. Thompson pays close attention to religion, especially Methodism and other dissenting traditions, because he sees them as important forces in working class formation. He does not treat religion simply as a private belief system. Instead, he shows how it disciplined habits, supported communal discipline, and provided forms of Ausgesehen and moral language that shaped workers' lives. Methodism could encourage punctuality, sobriety, and self-restraint, but it also created networks of fellowship and mutual support that were valuable to people facing instability and exploitation. More broadly, dissenting culture gave many workers a vocabulary for criticism and a framework for collective identity outside the established church. Thompson is interested in this tension religious movements could reinforce social order, yet they also offered resources that workers adapted for their own purposes. By giving religion a serious historical role, the book avoids a narrow economic reading of class formation and shows how moral and spiritual life were intertwined with politics and labor. That is one reason the study remains analytically rich rather than merely descriptive. Fourthly, radical politics, the Luddites, and resistance to industrial and state power. The book gives major attention to popular radicalism, including reform movements, clubs, petitions, and the Luddite disturbances. Thompson reinterprets these movements not as irrational outbreaks of disorder, but as meaningful responses to social and economic transformation. He shows that machine breaking, protest meetings, and political agitation often arose from concrete grievances over wages, labor discipline, displacement, and the loss of customary rights. This is important because it places resistance at the center of historical change. The Luddites, in particular, are presented as skilled workers defending a way of life under pressure from new industrial relations, rather than as simple enemies of progress. Thompson also emphasizes the fear that working-class organization generated among ruling elites, which led to surveillance, repression, and prosecutions. This interaction between protest and coercion reveals that class formation was a conflictual process. The book therefore links political radicalism with the larger making of class consciousness, showing how collective resistance helped workers define themselves against employers, magistrates, and state authority. Lastly, the book's lasting importance, strengths, and limits in modern social history. The Making of the English Working Class stands out because it combines narrative power, power archival depth, and a strong interpretive claim about how class is formed. It remains essential reading for historians, students of labor, and readers interested in British social change because it reshaped the study of class, culture, and political movements. Its main strength is that it restores human agency to historical analysis without losing sight of structural pressures. At the same time, later readers have noted limits, especially its relatively thin treatment of women and its tendency to privilege artisan and radical sources, which may not represent all working people equally. Even so, these limits do not cancel its significance. They help define the book as a product of its historiographical moment while preserving its originality. What distinguishes it from similar works is the combination of empathy, evidence, and theoretical ambition. It is not just a history of labor or protest, but an explanation of how a class learned to recognize itself in the midst of upheaval. In conclusion, this book should be read by historians, students of labor history, scholars of social movements, and general readers who want to understand how modern class identity emerged in Britain. It is especially valuable for anyone interested in industrialization, political radicalism, religious culture, and the relationship between structural change and human agency. The practical benefit of reading it is not merely factual knowledge about a specific period, but a deeper understanding of how collective identities form through conflict, organization, and shared experience. Intellectually, it offers a model of historical explanation that treats culture, politics, and everyday life as inseparable from economic change. What makes it stand out from other books in its field is its combination of rigorous research and a powerful thesis about agency. The working class did not simply appear as an automatic consequence of industry, but made itself through struggle and association. That insight has made the book one of the most influential works of 20th century social history and a continuing reference point for debates about class and power. If you would like to support E.P. Thompson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.